Incoming transmission.
Welcome back to the Agony Booth on Captain's Quadrant. As you can see, we have the utmost and gracious pleasure of having VHS Jace as our co-host today. He is stepping in for the recently taken ill Jason Roy Gaston. So hello, everybody, and hello, Jace. How have you been? What's going on? It's been a week since we've hung out.
Yeah, it has. It has. I know everyone out there was expecting to see Jason, but tonight you get, I would say, the teamy version of Jason. So you're expecting a really funny Texan. You've got an unfunny Australian tonight, guys. No, it's just the way it is. So.
Hilariously, you guys are both named Jason, so it's easy for me to go.
Yeah, it's an easy swap version. Out.
Yeah, it's Jason. Here we go. Oh, man. So we had the pleasure of watching A Night in Sick Bay. Oh, man.
Pleasure?
Yeah, I had a few moments where I laughed because it was cultural appropriation and things like that. So I was like, whoa, what's going on here? So
I see it as justice because I was mocking you and Jason only days before about having to watch this episode. And then I get a last minute call saying, hey, can you come and step in? Exactly. Does everybody know? Should we let him know that Jason isn't recovering? He's fine.
Yes. Jason's doing okay. He did have a medical emergency. He felt the rage of the end of a Mechleth and he had some internal bleeding from it. So he is in the hospital recovering well.
Yeah. Oh, he's gotten out now.
It's home, home.
Well, actually, I don't know if he's home because he's recovering really well. The last report I had, he was currently at a con somewhere screaming at Star Wars saying that their franchise sucks. So it's good to see he's on the mend.
Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. That's so Jason.
Perfect.
That's so Jason. Yeah. Well, I guess let us hop into the synopsis before we go any further. We've got Star Trek Enterprise Season 2, Episode 5, A Night in Sick Bay. Archer spends a restless night in sick bay. Very repetitive. With his ailing dog after he picked up a deadly virus on an alien planet. And Dr. Phlox suspects the captain's increased stress level is related to a repressed sexual tension. Well, then, so I thought as soon as I read that, I was like,
hey, baby. Come to Butthead.
For the millionth time, don't ever talk to me again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what kind of happens to Archer in the end.
Yeah, dude. It does. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's hop into what WTF did we just watch? I still, every time. So if you're not familiar with the Captain Squadron and you're watching us, hello for the first time. We do have our friends Geek Filter, Aaron Sugar, our good buddy Damon J, and of course Cosmic Mom in the house, and hello to all of you. But if you are seeing us from the WinterCon that happened this weekend, welcome to the madness, excuse me. And there is a lot of fun to be had, and the guy that's with me today, our special guest, created all of this wonder that you see around you, and he is available for opportunities. So I'm giving you a plug. Look at that.
Excellent. Won't say no.
All right, so if you want to really step up your podcast, be sure to reach out to VHS Jace.
Links will be below.
Yes, links will be below in the podcast notes. So, all right, Jace, as our guest, WTF did we just watch?
I'm still trying to figure that out. This is tonally so weird, this episode. And it's an episode dealing with the fact that, you know, Archer needs to get some.
Yep.
That's like, and I'm like, okay, we're devoting a whole episode around that. And it's kind of weird and awkward. It's kind of flat. It feels like it was we're out of money episode as well because it's very contained. We don't even get to see the alien planet that Porthos pees on their tree. It is all on the ship, all on the sets. Like, they were trying to save cash big time.
For sure.
yeah, like I'll get into the good because there is some good about this.
Yes, absolutely.
It isn't completely horrible from my perspective.
Same.
But it just feels like an awkward stepchild of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't quite feel like it fits in. Although, again, when I get to the good parts, there are some discoveries about characters I did like in it.
Same.
But yeah, to me, just awkward, weird, kind of the sexual tension thing made me cringe more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good sign if I'm cringing in a Star Trek episode.
Right. So I agree. Totally off the bat, the awkwardness ensues when you get this bizarre super tongue section.
I did like that.
I thought I'd giggle a little bit. Yeah, but it was super weird. I was like, what is going on? And then, of course, we got a night in sickbay where they're playing catcher in the rye.
Spend 5 minutes
chasing
a bat.
Oh, so weird. But I knew homeboy Captain Jonathan Archer was feeling it, because when you get in a room with these two, you know, I'm going to feel a certain way too. No offense. But
well,
these are amazing.
Yeah, and they cut back to that scene multiple times.
Like, I would too.
Hey, look. We get it. We know what those scenes really represent.
Mm-hmm.
That you keep cutting back to, you know, lotion being rubbed into skin. And it's just like, look, we get it. We get it. All right. You have to keep going down that track. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, yeah, in some respects, you kind of got to deal with that at some aspect in the show, right? If you're going to have a stunning-looking Vulcan who's going to be the right-hand person to the captain, the audience is going to want to just, you know, explore that side of things too. It was just, like I said, just cringy. It's like seeing young people kissing in public, like, ooh, stop that.
Stop that.
Go find a room.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that was bizarre about this was the amount of, I mean, as a pet owner, I love my little cosmic pet, Science Officer Teddy.
Yeah.
And he's amazing, and I would feel remiss if something happened to him. I before we even started this podcast, you were telling me you had your ailment for your cat, and I'm so sorry. You know, I know how how painful that must feel.
Mm.
And I know the time we had to take Teddy to the emergency vet twice and spend a night in sick bay. The veterinarian office, and one of them cost us $1,800.
Wow.
So I was like, "Ooh, Captain Archer, you're lucky they got rid of capitalism, because this would have cost you a fortune. They had to put poor Porthos in a bathtub tank."
Yeah, which that's what they did. They put him in a bathtub tank.
They put him in the bathtub tank to heal him.
Yeah, you know, there was, and I think that's the other problem with it, Joe. You've got this mix of this really beautiful story about the love for your pet and your ownership, and there's this real lot of, and then being mixed in with the sexual tension. I don't know if they were the best bedfellows for this kind of thing. That's why it felt awkward and cringe, because one moment you're going, oh man, Porthos, like, don't kill the dog, guys. Don't kill the dog. And then you're going, oh yeah, but Daddy needs some.
Yeah, all right. Let me put some more lotion on you, T'Pol. Except for that ending.
Mind you, we should also, going back to Jason just a minute, it's just occurred to me that his level of commitment to this show is so amazing that when you said that you had to go watch a night in sickbay, he got himself hospitalized.
He's like, there's no way I can get out of this.
It just occurred to me. That's the level of commitment.
And then there's a video of him going, being carted off to the ambulance.
He's method all the way. Popped into my thick skull. I had to express it out. But yes, Porthos, like, you know.
Yeah.
Did you think there was a stuffed Porthos a few times?
Or CGI. Because
there was a couple of times those legs weren't moving far, were they?
Exactly. It was very weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that, actually, when I was watching it before we started, just to get a rehash of it. There was a voice in the background going, is the dog okay? Is the dog okay? Did he die? Is he okay?
You know, it was part of me was thinking about that. It was like, wow, what a cool, like, alternative thing you could have done if you had the kahunas to do it, was to actually go through with it and then have Arch go to this real dark tunnel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just my sick mind thinking that's what I would have liked to
do. They kind of filmed the whole like burial scene, so they really.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yes, of course.
So that, it's not far from the happenstance.
Before we get into the good stuff, though, I just want to introduce a little segment. I know, I come back and I've got I'm taking home, I'm going to do a segment.
Nah, you're
but
good.
I think it's worth no, brother, it because I think this one's important. All right? Yeah, and I'm calling this one Missed Opportunity. Okay, maybe a little bit over the top, but never mind. Let's get to it. Missed Opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, what Missed Opportunity is. This whole episode's about finding what I believe are these containers, right? Mm-hmm. What are they? What do they call them? Let me have a look. Let's see. Plasma injectors.
Right.
But for some reason, I kept thinking they were capacitors.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, injectors, capacitors. Why didn't they send Dr. Phlox down there to do it? Because then you would have had a Phlox capacitor.
Nice.
I didn't say it was going to be funny. I never said that. I promised you nothing.
That's amazing.
You need so, yes, again, a Phlox capacitor.
I love it.
Okay. Guys. I had 10 minutes before I came up with that gag, so I had to do what I had to do.
That was brilliant. For me,
but yeah, look.
Yeah, for me, a missed opportunity was they legit were about to go to war with that alien species over the dog. Well, they should have known that the pathogens would have hurt my dog, and they should have this with my dog, and tough titties with my dog. So I was really waiting for, you know what? Phaser fire. Let's blow this tree up. You want, like,
they. Well, and again, was the budget so tight that you couldn't have gone and shot an external shot of Porthos peeing on the tree?
Yeah, not even.
It has to be mentioned as an afterthought. Like,
yeah, like them could have been. They could have been walking with the aliens because I mean, they filmed the cultural misappropriation thing with the whole dreadlocked cat.
Oh yeah, that's like, talk about another cringy moment.
Yeah,
that's hugely cringy.
Oh my god,
appropriation all the way.
Exactly. And here's a fun fact. That's actually if you go out into comic stores that have baseball card collections.
Yeah,
that's part of a baseball card collection line. So you can take that culture appropriation home with you. So
yeah, it's not once.
Yeah, I was like, really? That's what you put on the card? So bizarre. And those tattoos. It was like, really? Like, oh. But
this is actually fair enough. Is actually an episode of Missed Opportunity. So much about it feels like half-assed.
And did you notice there were barely any shots of the ship like flying around or anything? Barely.
Yeah,
it's like two.
So the problem is you do this setup of an alien species that we don't get to see for about 30 minutes, right, we never see these guys, and then they show up in the end in that room, and then they nod approvingly when he does his little dance,
right?
You know, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
like, yeah. So, and it's weird. It is. It just feels like they didn't have any money. They had an okay script, an idea, and then they melded these two awkward storylines together.
And I feel like we didn't get enough Trip or Malcolm in this too. So that's
no.
Yeah.
No. I did feel like Picard in our segue. Because, you know, when we were when Trip was in the scene, how many do we have? Four.
Yes.
We have four. We need five. We have four.
Yeah.
That was probably very Picard in that moment.
Yeah. They probably did that on purpose.
It might have been a little nod to that episode. Yeah.
Well, let's ask, why would you do that?
There's nothing there.
We kind of went over a lot of these things.
We did. But I think it's also very indicative, if I can say, why would they do that? Is because I don't think the show still knew what it was yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't know what it was yet because this is we're getting massive tonal shifts from episode to episode at this point. And it never feels quite right at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets there.
Yeah, it takes its time, but it does get there. And I always thought that the show was going to be about like him going on as a, not only in an expedition of space exploration, but of like a recruitment kind of going on, hey, yeah. I'm from Earth and we have this cool thing.
That's
and,
a good point. You know, I've always thought it should have been a lot darker, actually, in tone, because I always felt if they were like the Chris Columbus of its time, right? They're the NX. They're going out there, and if you were to like think about those people who were first going out discovering other countries on this planet, it was a very brutal kind of experience.
Right.
Like all the lessons that they've learned by the time they're in the TOS or by the time they're in Next Generation should really be formed by the horrors of what this first crew had to experience.
That's a great point, man. Like, that is spot on. They really should have gone with a darker tone of like, we went to this one planet and we didn't like kind of learn about their culture first. And we set the whole planet on fire by mistake. We
should be seeing these catastrophic accidents and things like that. And, you know, and even goes with this episode, we should have seen it as a failure.
Right.
As a diplomatic failure would be building blocks. And I think Star Trek fans would appreciate that because it's like, oh, wow, they screwed the pooch on that one. But
the pooch.
but we know next time in the future they won't make those same mistakes.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. I totally agree. That's such a missed opportunity. And diseases. Every time there's explorers, they bring diseases with them that wipe civilizations.
So the why would you do that has got to be, why are you taking Porthos on the planet in the first place?
Yeah, like don't bring the dog.
Yeah, why are you bringing the dog, man? Yeah.
Like you don't
there's
know.
There's no reason.
Yeah, you don't know what's down there. You don't know what's up. Like, leave him up.
And if you're a dog owner, you know, unlike humans and unlike cats even, we're given a very specific place in the world to go to the bathroom.
Right.
The whole world is a dog's bathroom.
Exactly.
That's why we have to pick up after it.
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to tinkle everywhere.
Everywhere.
And legit by this episode. And what a way to – why would they do that whole cutting – like the tree – this is what baffled me most. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. The tree is the sacred tree. It's 300 bajillion years old or whatever it was. Mm. And – you know, there's nothing more important than that tree. So what did they do to reconcile? All right, we're going to cut a branch of this tree that's so important, and then you're going to take pieces of this tree that we love so much and just place it around like a game of bocce. Wait a minute. I thought
so the sacred tree, you hack him with a chainsaw.
I was like, wait a minute. I thought the tree was important. Why are you
Mind you,
about?
He's got some mad chainsaw skills. That was some very nice cuts.
Yo, those cuts were epic. They were like perfect round discs.
Pretty good.
Got to see how old the tree was. Amazing. But it was super weird that, you know, the most important thing to them, they allowed him to chop up and just pass around. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, weird. It should have been a diplomatic failure because he made some really stupid errors, Archer.
Yeah. So, and this is the second time he did that. It was the second time.
Essentially, what we see is him making really poor diplomatic errors, him sulking and throwing tantrums for an entire episode about it. And then, you know, he gets what he wants plus more in the end.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get.
What did he really learn? Well, he didn't get to Paul, but.
He didn't to Paul.
No, he didn't pull to Paul.
No. Trip actually, didn't he hook up with her later on?
Yeah. Now, this is, hey, remember, you got Timu Jason tonight. I can't remember. You have to ask the real Jason. Like, if that's true or not. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, actually, they did.
Yeah, I remember. I'm pretty sure they did have some type of coitus at some point.
And if they didn't, Joe, what would that be?
A missed opportunity.
Sorry, I had to at least play it twice. Otherwise, what was the point of making it?
I love it. It's going to be a permanent fixture on the show. I got to put it in all the different channels. why would you do that moment? The dog, they have the bat. What was the point of the bat? Just other than hygiene?
I don't know. It's kind of to point out that Phlox is
weird.
Yeah, he has weird nighttime experiences.
Yeah.
Like things are kind of kooky in his world, but it's supposed to be comedic, Jenna.
Yeah. I mean, him going around with that.
Yeah. This is really goofy.
Oh, it was so goofy. Why would you do that?
And again, a tonal imbalance with what you're trying to tell. Right. This is his best friend on his deathbed, and he feels helpless. but let's do a bit of slapstick comedy in there.
Yeah. Let's put him in a Bantha thing. But there are some good things about this episode, and we're going to get into those next.
It looks like gold. Tastes like gold.
It is gold.
Yes, there are quite several redeeming features. One of my favorites is Archer just about to go to war with that alien species with the one ship over the way that they pretty much neglected his dog. They're like, meh, whatever. We had path. Oh yeah, we didn't look at it, dog. We don't care about your dog.
It was cool to see him like, don't F with Archer, basically.
Yeah, he was...
Yeah, but it was also one of his weaknesses, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
Which I like. I don't want to see him the perfect captain. I want to see him be impulsive and things like that, because you would be. You're in the unknown. You truly are seeing things for the first time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. That was great. What are some of your...
Dr. Phlox finding his background. I like that. I just liked hearing about, you know, his relationship kind of mechanism, like, you know, three wives and they've got seven husbands and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice to see him just get more camera time. I really like him as a character. I always thought he was very one of the strongest characters in the show, honestly.
I agree. Yeah.
And I thought his bed manner was really, really reflective of how smart he is how he handled Archer. I thought, you know, bar the chase and the bat thing, but everything he was saying to Archer, how definitively honest he was, things like that. Maybe he needs to be better to, you have to dig into Phlox a bit to get all the information out of him. But nevertheless, yeah, I thought it was a really strong episode for that character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. I thought T'Pol handled herself with absolute grace. And I got the feeling when she walked out of the room at the end, she was like, what a weirdo.
I felt
she kind of gave him that look as she walked out. This guy's a loser.
Yeah, I feel like she walked out of that room and was like, my other redeeming feature is Hoshi. Like, she saved the day twice in this episode.
Oh yeah, she did.
She dealt with the aliens and she you know, caught the bat, and you know, it was super CGI. was like a piece of paper that they were probably flinging around. Like a CGI. She caught the bat and you know, she came.
But it
through.
Is a very small. I think a few people had a week off, didn't they?
Yeah, Malcolm wasn't there.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Anthony Montgomery, he wasn't there. Yeah. The pilot, you know, he wasn't there at all. We got no scenes on the bridge.
No, and I suppose that, in a way, is a negative and a positive. I think it's a positive because we were able to. We just never would have gotten to spend time with Phlox like we did in this episode, I think.
Right.
And it's probably good because it was cheap to make and, you know, but also just felt very constricting. It's probably the negative part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 You wanted to see more. Like I said, it's just, there were two sets, I think, in that entire show, wasn't there?
Right.
It was
maybe
three sets because it would have been his room. Yeah. The medical thing. And then the
alien planet, which was probably somebody.
Yeah.
I feel like it almost looked like some building's hall and they just rented it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the way the floor looked, it looked like some type of actual architectural design from Earth.
And in a way, you could, if you look at this episode, you go, maybe this is when they were getting a bit nervous about the show.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because. Yeah. It had to start its fight soon, right? The show's about halfway, it had to start fighting for survival.
Yeah.
And it had, two and a half seasons of trying to keep itself going, you know?
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And another redeeming feature for me, besides Phlox's very large family, was Phlox cutting his nails. Like, we never see, please don't think I'm weird, but we never see characters' feet much.
No, and like it was good, but it's the same idea about the tongue scraping, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't get to see how aliens do their normal day-to-day thing. I'm sure aliens think us brushing our teeth is a weird thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we see tongue scraping and cutting your nails. It's just like, ew, wow, that's weird, you know?
Yeah, but he, like, had, like, a razor, like a saw, and it's, you know, like, they were huge. And I thought that was cool. I thought it was an aspect that we really didn't get to see because you know, we're a very biped species, so other aliens don't have exactly the 100% same chemical composition as we do. So, you know, there we grow, what is it, cartilage from our nails, I think, or calcium or something like that. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to sound smart and say yes. Don't doubt yourself, Joe.
Yeah. I just go with it. I will agree. Yep. You're 100% right, Joe.
Yeah, he's smart. So, and, you know, they could be growing silicon or carbonite. Who knows? So I thought that was super cool to see another aspect of the Phlox character that we would have never normally gotten, because they are always prim and proper and are always well-dressed. And this, I think, was the most naked we've ever had Star Trek, the series, because there was a lot of, you know, dressed in the skivvies.
There was a lot of applying the lotion.
Yeah. There was a lot of lotion rubbing. Yeah.
There was a lot of lotion rubbing.
Absolutely.
And again, it's not a bad idea to explore that in a show, right? Because, you got a bunch of people. Everyone's got libidos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there is a serious argument to be made. Do you want a captain who's sexually frustrated? Because he's going to make the best decisions, you know?
Right. So there's some
Just don't put it together with the puppy dog that might die.
Yeah. We're pulling on my heartstrings here.
You know
Come
what
on.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, let us then go to commercial.
Oh, you want me to play the commercial?
Yeah, because I don't know where it is.
Yeah, you don't know where it is. No, before we do play it, we need to shout out somebody who sent it through. I do believe.
Oh, that's right. He's in the room.
He's in the room. I do believe Aaron Sugar sent this in to Jason.
It was either Aaron or Geek Filter.
It was Geek Filter, sorry. Geek Filter, I believe, sent us this commercial. So thanks, mate. It's a cracker. Here we go.
Locating coordinates, Springfield Mall, another universe. Beaming down Earth creatures now.
You made it. Transported into the most exciting store ever created. Another universe. A state-of-the-art concept in the sale of animation, cards, comic books, games, science fiction, toys, and much more. Transport yourself into the coolest store in the galaxy, another universe.
Join us at our new location in Georgetown, now open.
That was
cool. Wow. That is so cool. I actually want to go to that store now. I know that was made in the 90s.
Yeah.
That store still looks cool to this day.
Yeah. I loved. Yeah. All right. Normally we wait till the end, but definitely wasn't me. I set the Kirk Thatcher singing "I Hate You" on an acoustic ukulele.
Oh, wow. I'll play that next time, Aaron, for sure. As soon as Jay sends it to me.
Yeah. Send it over, Aaron. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I believe it was Geek Filter that sent that over.
Hilarious.
Super cool. You know, that we used to have, and so I live in the East Coast of the United States. I'm like a stone's throw from New York City. And we had a store called Suncoast. And Suncoast was that. It was the exact same. They had like the suit from RoboCop in the store instead of Predator. So I guess it was like a mimic. We didn't have commercials, but Suncoast lasted well into like 2008. It held on for a long time, shockingly.
And that name of that store had actually made, we'd heard of it down here.
What, Suncoast?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no, I knew of it because I knew that you could get very specific figures and you could.
Yes.
Yeah. So Suncoast. So.
And I spent many a days going to Suncoast because a lot of the stuff that you see, well,
come
none of the stuff, but like, well, that comic, and I have some things back here that did come from there. I have certain Transformers. I have my Farscape collection came from Suncoast because their big thing was Laserdisc, and that's what they were pushing. Like, you would go in there and the guy would be like, man, you've never experienced a movie like Jaws until you've seen it on Laserdisc. And they were huge. They were like,
and you'd have to flip them halfway. I had a laser disc.
Yeah, that's right. So it was wild, so wild to see. Like,
very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is the first day of Hanukkah here.
Oh, is it? Happy Hanukkah to everyone out there.
Happy Hanukkah to all our friendly friends. And you know, actually, Adam Sandler reminded us that Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock were both Jewish.
Happy Hanukkah to Kirk and Spock.
And then this is a Jewish symbol.
So it was adapted from. I've seen that clip of how Leonard Nimoy explained how he came to that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Geek Filter says at least the actors were Jewish. And then we've got, you know, Get Better Soon Jason.
Yes, absolutely, Jace. He's fine. He'll be doing all right.
Yeah, he'll
he's currently surrounded by his cats and he's planning devilish schemes together.
Yeah.
So he'll be back before you know it.
Yes.
You better be. We're going to film Sunday night. So
yeah. Does this one have the decon gel scene? Yes. This is the one where they're rubbing
lots
everything.
Lots of gel in this one.
Yeah.
Lots of gel.
Yeah.
Although they seem to use the same clip every time. It's like just behind the upper back.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
go too far north or south, do they?
Right. Right.
Yeah. They kind of keep things really
PG. Yeah.
Just below the shoulder blade.
Right. 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 Mm-hmm. Let's see. We've got Damon. Even at 1 a.m., we've been on set since 10 a.m. The previous day, I was still thanking everyone for being a part of this movie. That's
They're talking about Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah. I worked on set with Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler's mom, Dove. Oh, he's talking to my mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, such a wonderful person, really down to earth. Well, if you buy all your friends Maseratis, then I think you're a pretty cool guy. So hopefully, Jace, the show will blow up and I'll mail you a Maserati.
That'd be pretty good. I don't know how much postage will be on that, but good luck.
I'll just have one bought there and ship it.
Yeah, it might as well be cheaper to build it here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Strange Australian question. You guys all mainly drive stick shift? Like,
No, I think we're just like mostly, it depends. If you're a bloke that drives like a trade vehicle, a ute, something like that, yeah. Most of the dudes like to drive, five speed.
Oh, wow.
You shift, but everyone else and lazy people, and I am a lazy person, it's automatic.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I'm automatic all the way because I don't want to say I'm lazy, but I do say that shifting and switching, I would definitely fuck it up. And then all of a sudden, bam.
It's car dependent, though. You get the right car, you want to drive manual.
Really?
Yeah, because you're in the right thing. Like, you wouldn't get in a Porsche and drive automatic, would you?
No.
Want to drive at stick shift. You want the feeling as you're changing gears. You want to feel that power.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what the Enterprise is missing. It's missing a nice little fast-speed stick shift.
That's
on the
right.
Side.
Yeah. Missed opportunity.
Another missed opportunity.
Another missed opportunity. All right, well, we're going to hop into one of the most fun things that we do on this show. And this is voiced over by you. And it is, yes, by you, and we're not going to change it.
I have not seen one royalty check yet.
Yeah, well, we don't make it. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
It's time for stupid Star Trek questions.
All right, so Patrick Kelly 368 says, why do all caves have flat floors? So if you are a cave Star Trek fan, right? I love that.
It's the great question. That is not a stupid question. That's a legit question. Why are they perfectly flat?
They're flat, the floors. Yeah, that's on point. I love that question. I saw that, I laughed so hard.
We all know the answers. I don't really have an answer to that one. Except, budget.
I think gravity comes in many different ways. And I think that's why, because the rocks don't get their chance to become stalactites and stalagmites, so they don't really get to grow. That's my science.
It depends. If it's a naturally formed cave, you can do that. But if it was formed by an alien species.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You could argue, well, they flatten the floors and we do it. So I think it does. That's the determiner there. Yeah. Is it a species-made thing, or is it naturally formed?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Another good possibility is, in honor of our buddy Jason, who's recovering, butt bugs. Butt bugs.
Butt bugs could have flattened it out.
Yeah,
butt bugs are becoming the sonic screwdriver of the Star Trek universe.
Yes, exactly.
They can do anything we want them to do.
Right, that's right. And I got my Sonic right here.
There you go.
Caves floors are flat. So, yeah, that was a fun, stupid Star Trek question.
That's pretty great, actually.
Yeah, I think it was
great. It's so obvious, isn't it? Like, why are they?
Wait a minute.
Because they didn't think about it, and they forget when they're shooting it, people are going to pay attention.
Right,
You got to remember, too, back when they made those shows, yes, they would expect some few might tape it on VHS, but they never expected for people to go back and rewatch these episodes.
You're right.
Again and again
and study
again.
Them.
It's like when you see a movie the first time, you really notice the mistakes. Maybe you pick up one or two. It's in your repeat viewings. You start seeing all the mistakes they make.
Right.
And I think that's probably has something to do with it as well. They're like, ah, no one's going to notice. You know, someone's going to fire a, you know, fire something. That'd be fine. Yeah, yeah, fire a phaser.
Yeah.
No one will notice about the shiny black floor.
Of course, Aaron Sugar, all caves are ADA compliant.
No, of course, health and safety matters. Of course, yes, we want to be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. such a great question.
It's like a funny question. I like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
We had an award for giving our best questions of the year. That's a contender in my
mind. That opinion. Would be, yeah, for sure. That's such a
great and question. I'm happy because it's not around feces, which seems to be running thing for Star Trek questions. We always end up talking about number twos.
Yeah. Somehow, some way. It's always about poop.
And now, we will continue in the future, I have no doubt.
Oh, yeah, it'll pop up again. Poop always comes out one way or another.
Well, yeah. And everybody poops. So it's, you know,
everybody poops, yeah. But the exciting thing about the next couple of episodes is all the stupid Star Trek questions are really pretty good, except for one. And then none of them are poop related.
Wow, that's great. That's good, something to look forward to. I will watch with bated breath to see what the questions will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's our.
Join us next week for more stupid Star Trek questions.
Well, that was
fantastic. Keep sending them through, guys. Even when I'm just watching the show, people are so imaginative.
Yes.
The questions they come up with, it's always a treat to see them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we're going to spin the wheel next week after because we are going to go into Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, when our buddy Jason returns.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to talk for him, but I would just say he looks very favorably at number four.
He does.
He does. And I'll let him take it from there. But yeah. I know he's been excited specifically to talk about this Star Trek film.
Yes, yes. It's a good film. I still love Star Trek VI because it's your perfect bow on the series, on all of that cast and crew. I think the two ships sailing off in the end are just unbelievable.
Me, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, that's where my heart lies to.
Yeah.
This is number six. But number four, I will say this about number four. I suppose I get a chance to say it now. I still think it is the most TOS Star Trek film. Feels the most TOS because it feels like them going to a different culture, you know? You know,
even though it's
America,
it still feels like a whole nother world.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. So it feels very, the original series type of story.
Yeah.
And it's well made. Like, it's well
made. Holds up. Like, I ended up watching clips of it because of something, a little project.
Well, I didn't watch it not that long ago. I rewatched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's pretty fresh in my.
Because we watched Star Trek 1 and then we're going through them? Is that why
I think so. I actually think it was prior to that. At one point, we'd spoken about potentially talking about a whole bunch, and I just started binge-watching one day because I was bored. Mm. Again, like as I do.
Yeah.
And then by 9, I'm like, oh,
why did I do that?
These people are so boring on this planet.
Sorry, yeah, that's
insurrection.
least favorite. Yeah.
But no, look. Oh, I'm sure you guys will have a blast going back.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you a great excuse. You know, you and Jason got to watch A Voyage Home again this week. So,
yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And he has some. Well, there you go. He's already got a fan.
Yeah. Aaron Sugar will be here for that. I hate to say it, but it's 6-2. And then I get murky.
I would say the top three for me are 6-2-4.
6.234 for me.
I don't rate 3 that much.
Really? I love 3.
Yeah, I really don't rate that one that really much.
Do. You got Ignatowski as your Klingon.
Yeah, but see, I don't rate Generations that much, and I think Jason, he loves Generations.
I like Generations too.
Yeah.
But like the Next Generation cast, it's like First Contact, Generations.
Yeah, I never
core.
If you ever get me on the episode 8, right, of First Contact, I don't think that movie has aged well at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
As regards to being a Star Trek film, the more I've watched it over the years, the less it feels like a Star Trek film.
Interesting. I haven't seen it in a long time. I need to watch it.
Yeah. Certainly when we get there, let me know. I wouldn't mind having a chat.
Oh, absolutely. I really want you back for 5 because I have a lot of cute, lovable moments about 5. And
to tease it out a little bit, I'm more of a, I'm probably a bit more an apologist for it, even though I know that the things that I'm saying are kind of stupid in regards to why I like it. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. It still has this charm about it.
Right. But,
when we get there, I'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah. And then Aaron Sugar says his favorites are 4, 2, 6, 3. But honestly, there isn't much distance between any of them.
He's 100% right. They can swap out depending on what day of the week it is, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, I would be surprised if we actually polled a whole heap of Star Trek fans what their top 3 were. I would be shocked to see many diversions from 4, 6, 2.
Yeah.
4, 6, 2. You know what I mean? Change order or not, that's what's going to be there for sure. So,
yeah, that's for sure. And then I have a personal vendetta with 5. Interesting. Ooh.
Well, we want to hear about that later.
Yeah, come on, dude. Don't leave us hanging. Captain Kirk. I have a personal vendetta with Insurrection because that was the first time. So we have tiers of movie theater here in America, Jace. And there's like your fancy hoity-toity.
Yeah, we got the same thing.
Oh, okay. And then we've got one of the, it's not ghetto, but not anymore anyway, but it's kind of like the lesser maintained one. And right in the middle of Insurrection, when Data like face rips and he was like invisible and he rips and he sees his face, the movie broke. The film reel went and like he ripped and then the film ripped. And I was like,
oh, wow. I have actually been in a movie. You know how you see this in the movies? I legit was seeing The Incredible Hulk, the 2008 Incredible Hulk, right?
Uh-huh.
And we're halfway through the first reel, and it stopped. This is back when it was playing reel. It wasn't digital now. And I got the stop reel and the burn.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing from the center burnt out.
Oh, shoot.
Like legit in real time. Yeah, and they obviously had another reel and they sorted it out. But
they stitched it probably.
We got free tickets. But it was cool because I'm like, I've only ever seen that in the movies as an effect. I've never actually been to a theater and that has happened.
Wow. Oh, we got our answer. I took my high school girlfriend to see it. Opening night, 1989. We broke up a few weeks later. So
damn you, Cybok. I blame Cybok, Aaron.
You should share your pain with Cybok. He could probably get you through it. Or was it Shuckery?
Wow. Rough, mate. That is rough.
Yeah. I remember.
I look, to be honest with you, you were doing better than me. You actually had a girlfriend in high school. You were doing better than me, mate.
There you go.
Well done.
All right. Well done, Aaron. Well done. Yeah. Well, that is going to wrap it up for our amazing episode. Jason, thank you so much for jumping in here and being the solid hero once again, hanging out.
Happy to fill in, like, you know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I thought it might be a good thing to help out Jason, his time in need. And I love talking Trek. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go.
Great.
And I just love
on.
The idea that everybody was excited to watch Jason again this week. And then
it's like, oh, wait a minute.
No, personally, I got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
I saw it. We were live. We had a lot better numbers. And then as soon as I figured out, I went, Jason's out there. They got that loser Australian guy. They were backing off. Absolutely.
No, we stayed pretty steady. We appreciate each and every one of you hanging out with us, so all 6 of you. So be sure to join us next week. We're going to be talking about The One with the Whales. And, you know, hopefully Jason has a good, speedy recovery and everything's going aces for him. Mm. Until next time, live long and prosper in peace and long life, y'all.
Affirmative.